Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
We're back. It is an episode of From the Horse's Mouth where we look ahead to Sunday. I'm calling it the Sunday service. You can listen to this before Mass or after Mass. It's up to you. As myself, Frank Hickey, who's back for the second time this week and hopefully in just as good form as he was earlier in the week, and Fran Berry, we've taken away from Friday and we're going to have a look ahead to Sunday's action at Cheltenham, obviously cracking days racing, and also at Navan, where we could see a few very, very nice types. Now, I'll get the lads' thoughts on the racing. A reminder, day 3 at Cheltenham of this Paddy Power Open meeting, another Paddy's Pick opportunity with £25,000 in the pot, £25,000 in the pot, and all you have to do is pick those 5 winners for free. For free. It's a free shot at getting the whole £25,000 or indeed a share of it. So why not have a go? Details are in the show notes. But let's talk Sunday racing. I'm calling it Sunday service, Fran. There is a football match in Serie A, I think at 11:30 every morning. I do call that the match before Mass. Are you a Mass goer, Fran Berry?
I am. I've got out a little bit since COVID, yeah, but my son's making his communion next May, so we better get back in the swing of it. And
How much are you going to make? Come on.
Yeah, once a month, I think, yeah.
No. For the communion, what's the expectation now? Because I don't have kids and all that sort of crap. It's 4 figures now, I'm told.
Yeah, thousands, isn't it?
Exactly. If not getting a grand, I suppose. But he owes me €200 for his PlayStation 5, so that's coming straight out of it. So once he hits that target, we worry about the rest of it afterwards.
How does your son owe you money for a PlayStation? As in, you bought it, obviously, and he said, I'll pay you back.
Well, it's a life savings of €400, and it came up in Curry's. He wanted it for Christmas, and everyone might know that PlayStation 5s are very hard to get, so we found one and bought it, and I subbed him the last third of it, so he's on the hook for a couple of £100 plus interest.
Does he have a plan on how? He's not at an age where he can just work down his bar, I'm assuming. Wait, so
surely, Fran, you could have just found him a 6-4 winner and get him to throw the £400 on it.
Paddy's Pick 5 free to play in it for a Saturday.
Over 18s only.
it's good fun with him anyway, at least, and keeps him on a straight and narrow. But he goes for the communion. But
he'll make it back.
Yeah, with the open hours reading back from 12:30 on a Sunday, so you could see the winter ending up being an early one, the odd Sunday maybe. Yeah,
Fran, we are in the presence of a former altar boy as well.
Yeah, you were a sacristan as well.
Sacristan. When apologies.
School, yeah, sacristan for 2 years. Probably I would imagine the people who went before me were a little bit more honest, maybe. You know, maybe not even honest, just, yeah. You know, maybe me and the fellow who actually came after me, he's a horse racing trainer now, as I've mentioned before, James DeLay. We used to take a little bit of altar boy home for the weekends to kind of get you warmed up to go out. Wasn't great, but I still think
it's all. I still have never had
James DeLay.
I still never had ultra wine, but I'm told it's pretty horrific. Rotten. Yeah, horrific stuff.
So
we'll move on to horse
in a while. I'd probably need to go back at some stage.
We could all do with a visit. If you haven't seen the Banshees of Inisherin, and there are some brilliant scenes where in the confession booth, which you'd almost go back and have an old confession for the crack just to see the reaction. But yeah, no, we're going to leave Mass for now. We're going to try find some winners on a really good Sunday's racing. Obviously, I mentioned Cheltenham, and we're going to Navan. Now, there's a few races live on ITV. One of those that isn't is the 10:10. It is a novice chase over the 3-mile trip. There are 6 horses declared. No Paddy Power prizes as we record. We're recording on Friday afternoon, very early afternoon, by the way. So any prices that change could well change between now and the time you listen to this. Okay, quick chat on this in case either of you have one. Bardenstown Lad for John McConnell, he's got one in the race. Mr. Coffee might make the marker for Nicky Henderson. Gornelli's got Indigo Breeze. I'll come to you, Fran, on this because I don't think Frank has gotten for us. John McConnell at Cheltenham, he's one to watch.
He is. And look, Bardenstown Lad, it was a very good novice last year, third in the Albert Bartlett, running a cracker. And I don't think we've seen the best around that sharp track on chasing debut at La Stole. Going back to Cheltenham, only having a second run is probably not ideal on the back of that, but I just think the fact that John's horse is in such good form, three winners at the October meeting, he's got multiple chances Friday and Saturday there. He's definitely worth giving the benefit of the doubt. Now, he'll have to step forward to take on Mr. Coffee with his experience at that horse has gained. But just with the Barnstown lad angle and a drying ground in particular, at this time of talking, it's gone good ground in Cheltenham. He could be, you know, a little bit of value on the day and worth chancing if he warms up into the race in the first couple of fences.
Yeah, I love the McConnell angle at Cheltenham, not just in the October November meetings, also into the festival. He does so well with those horses. Small field, small amount of runners as well.
He probably needs to jump a bit better than a stall, though, wouldn't he? But yeah, I was giving that hot esteem a life there. Thought it was very interesting what Lucinda Russell said in her stable tour there. Just reading it, was the night before last. She was saying this horse is nearly as good as anything they have. But when you look at like a High Senor, Cork Rambler, this horse completely unexposed at 3 miles. She was an excellent third in the Grey One Sefton at Aintree. She slipped on her chase debut at Kelso. So I forgive her getting beaten there. I listened to Lucinda Russell when she said something like that because she's very good with those staying chasers. And hot esteem. Yeah, might put up to Mr. Coffee will make the market, I'd imagine. Very nervous watching that in the Kim Muir. Absolute smash up job. None of us could really see it staying 3.25 miles and turning in. We thought, oh, bollocks. This is going to win. And thank God didn't. But yeah, he's got plenty of experience and he's relatively unexposed to the trip as well. So yeah, it should be a decent race.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's the opening race in the car. We'll keep an eye out for Barnstown lad and also for Autosteam for Lucinda Russell there. Right, moving on to the ITV race. They kick off with a lovely match. Well, certainly prices if it's a match. It's the Slur Chase over the 2 mile trip. It sees last year's Arkell winner Edward Stone take on Nube Negra, who won this race last year. Now, we started recording about 10 minutes ago. I looked at the prices. It was 4-7 Edward Stone, 6-4 Nube Negra. That's already changed. It's now 8-13 Edward Stone, 11-8 Nube Negra. So early punters are thinking that Nube Negra is a bit of value. Frank, where are you sitting on this?
Yeah, I meant to actually as well, PK, to give a shout out to a lad who was offering tickets to Cheltenham, but obviously I couldn't go because I'm working. Shane, Kevin and Keith, they're gone over, so wishing them a good weekend. I'm sure they'll be slurring their words most of the weekend. Nube Negra is a horse of plenty of ability. Obviously goes well at Cheltenham, probably unlucky enough to win the Champion Chase 2 years ago, won the Slur last year. You just can't rely on him though. Like he looks brilliant to one day and then bombs out the next. And I'm going to stick with Edward Stone. He was, to be honest, he made a fool of me on more than one occasion last year, particularly in the Ark itself. I just thought, oh, he'll get found out when he meets the top one. And to be fair to him, he kept improving right through the season. His only defeats were first about when brought down, no fault of his own, and his last start at Aintree when he was probably, you know, after enough at that stage when he was second to Gentleman to me. I think it was the seventh start of the season. He'd run everywhere. There's no issue with Cheltenham, obviously. And just, I think he's a bit more consistent than Nube Negra. So for that purpose, I'll stick with him.
Ron?
Yeah, you got to stick with Edward Stone for all of what Frank had said. I think Gentleman to me beating him at Aintree, fresh horse he hadn't run since early March, whereas in comparison, Edward Stone was flawless when winning the Arkell, but 3 week turnaround going to Aintree, he travelled really well down to the second last, and I think it was just tired legs, if you like, to found him out then. He should step forward into senior ranks this season and be very competitive in all of them top 2 mile races. And if he is, he should be beating Nube Negra here, who does have a very good record fresh. He's won on his first couple of starts over the last couple of years, but I'm going to go into Horse of the Future for all that he's odds on, Edwardstone.
Yeah, those two votes for Edward Stone for Alan King to make it a back-to-back wins at Cheltenham. Having won the Arkell last year into the Slur. Now we move on to the 220, which is the Juice and Handicap Chase. Good quality contest, 75 grand of the pot. 3 miles, 3 furlongs, stayers to the four. Does He Know for Kim Bailey as we record, and Fantastic Ass for Nigel Twiss and Davies are the 7-2 joint favourites. How they got that name through, I'll never know. 8-1 Forget to Ask, 9-1 Ramses to Talay and the Mighty Don, and 10-1 Slipaway 11's like, Bar. Like,
there's some bad names that slip through over the years.
But like, that's so obvious. Right?
I mean, like, 2 in the Pink got in. Like, Jesus.
there's a very good mayor's hurdler as well.
Well, that's a bit different. There's another one called Mickey Drippin.
She can hang a bit, can't she?
Oh, jeez. All right. Whether this makes the weekend pod, we'll know. Producer Mark has just telling us to just give it a rest. Right. Your thoughts on the 220 at Cheltenham,
Frankie? Yeah, so I said, like, the lads will be slurring Saturday night and then they'll be back out in the last Sunday. And that's the one I like, back in the last. Had a spin over hurdles about 7 weeks ago. Shouldn't even spot on for this. I imagine they were lining him up for the cross-country race, but obviously that's not being run due to the firm ground. He had won the cross-country handicap last year off a mark of 138 when really well backed. He's back over conventional fences, but I don't think that's any issue. He's won over hurdles at Cheltenham also. His mark's okay, 137. He enjoys decent ground, and I'd always respect Martin Keady at Cheltenham, particularly outside the festival itself.
Yeah, he's been nibbled at two as we record on Friday afternoon, 14s down to 11-1. Fran, your thoughts?
Staying handicap chases is going to be typical all winter about the second season novices and how well they are in at the weights. I thought Fantasticast, given the profile of Nigel Twiss and Davies, the way he targets a meeting like this, bombed out in the Scottish National when last seen, he was quite short in the betting and didn't run too badly at the festival, likely to be fit, get up on the pace and off mark 142. I just thought he ticks a lot of boxes. Does he know got brought down to first on season debut at Kelso? Hard to know where you're at with him, but he should be none the worse for it. And Slip Away fits the profile also at the top of the betting, but I do like Fantasticus.
Yeah, it's the third time this week I'm going to mention this Imperial Commander in those very colours. Ran in the Paddy Power Cup. Paddy Power Gold Cup this weekend off 139. Fantasticass is 142. Ruby's going on about inflated ratings, and you definitely can see, there definitely are inflated ratings around at the moment. But that's an interesting shout for the 220. The 255, the big race on Sunday. It's the Great Wood Handicap Hurdle. No doubt extra places. I think we're five places in this race. 1,000 tiers for Emmett Mullins. A bit of a mover. 4-1 favourite as we record. But another mover is Dad's Lad for Willie Mullins at 4-1. Same price. It'd be really interesting to see how that market develops between now and the off-time. 13-2 Sonogino for Paul Nichols, who I would imagine Fran has mapped this race out for him, and now he's going to bump into potentially two Mullins plots.
Yeah, from Galway to Cheltenham in an amateur maiden, isn't it? You know, you look at Dad's Lad winning that amateur maiden on the Wednesday of Galway Plate Day, beating 1,000 tiers. And Dad's Lad was very good in the track over fences last time, got a very strong pace to him out of Evernock Fizz, making bold bid in the front. And showed a tendency to hang quite badly to his left all the way throughout the top. Brian Hayes was very good in him. In a small field, he was able to ride him to suit himself, or if you like, and get him organised. Just don't know about 16 runners if he shows a tendency to hang like he did throughout the run over fences, albeit last time will he be a straight four for Dad's Lad, but he comes here in top form and is open to further improvement. He's £11 higher than his Irish mark. 1,000 tiers, a really interesting profile. We've seen Emma Mullins with the Shuntern, a couple of these horses come from smaller trainers, if you like, and he was a dual winner for his former trainer, and just thought that debut run at Galway was quite significant in the context of this race. More importantly, second to Busselton on the flat was a very good run, and again, he's £11 higher on his Irish mark. You're dealing with potential now. He's well found the market. He, for me, 1,000 tiers is just the most interesting one, with Aidan Coleman booked. And another interesting one that's a double figure price. Just fascinated to see why the Trevor Hemmings team, the late Trevor Hemmings, have held on to Harbour Lake, and he's dropping down a trip here. He done really well to win a market racing recently. It was a very messy race. He travelled really well over 2.5 miles and had to work his way between horses to get up and win. He showed a really good attitude. Fast run 2 miles could see him in a different light. He's only had 5 or 6 runs. He's a double figure price. And I just think when the team are clearing out on the debt of Trevor Hemmings, clearing out their horses and cutting down the numbers, the fact they've held on to this horse and the fact of dropping him back in trip here, having travelled really well over further, he could be of interest.
Yeah, I like that angle. Alan King, he has a good record in the Great Wood, doesn't he? You think he did win it with Everstone, didn't he? Did Everstone win this?
He was placed, wasn't he?
Placed in it, yeah, but I think he's won it a few times anyway.
Harambe, wasn't it?
Harambe, indeed. I'm pretty sure, yeah, he's done well. It's off the top of my head anyway. Frank, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'd kind of echo what Fran said there about 1,000 tiers. You know, you just really respect Emmett Mullins. But at the same time, like, yeah, he's not absolutely thrown in either, potentially. Ugh, I'd be, at that price, wanting to take him on anyway. And look, Dad's Lad as well, very good over fence. But I do think he's improved for fences as well. And while he's running off a £7 lower mark than his chase win, I'd be, again, looking elsewhere. Look, I might be a fool doing that, but he's definitely improved for fences. And the one I just thought was very interesting was a different kind for Dallin McKean. It's only a 5-year-old. Thought was a really nice run at Aintree in his reappearance over 2.5 miles off mark, 133. I think it was a good race too. Peaking Rose beat him on the bob, and Peaking Rose is very well handicapped going into that. And the third Petit Tenere, the fourth One More for the Road, the fifth Bridge North, they all have plenty of upside. A different kind of Africa up 3 pounds. But I love the way he travelled through the race. Jumped fairly well in the main. I thought like a strong run 2 miles might really suit him. Like he's won 2 bumpers, won his first 3 starts over hurdles, was a credible third in a grade 2 at Cheltenham over 2.5 miles behind North Lodge, who was third in a grade 1 at Aintree over 2.5 miles. And Balco Coastal was a good third in an Aintree handicap at the festival off 1.34. He managed to beat Green Book at Haylock in a second start, conceding 5 pounds to him. Green Book won the Heroes handicap hurdle at Sandringham off 1.30, a pretty valuable handicap hurdle, and wasn't disgraced in 5th in the Albert Bartlett. So some of his form is quite strong. Look, he did disappoint behind John Bonn in the grade 1, but he'd been off for over 2 months and probably just found that too hot. And I just think the way he travelled through that Aintree race, and Brian Hughes is a jockey I love watching as well. He's nice and quiet in him. I think he's got more ability. He can definitely rate higher than 136, but I would echo what Francis about Harbour Lake as well. He's plenty of ability, and he got in all sorts of trouble in that race and market race and did very well to win. So there's definitely scope for him to be better than his mark as well. But lovely. Different kind for me.
2.16 to 1 pokes as we record in a different kind in Harbour Lake. You must have had your breakfast this morning, Frank, because you pronounced John Bonn incorrectly.
I pronounce it correctly, is it?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I thought we were going to go Jambon for the entire season.
No, I had my wheat bakes and a slice of toast, right.
Jambon, forgotten already.
Jambon, and sure, look, we paid out them already for the Arkle.
We did.
Yeah.
It was a great idea. Was that your idea, Frank?
It was not, no. We have to give the credit to Mark, to be fair to him.
What happens if he runs in a hurdle at the festival?
He won't be winning. I'm going to say that he won't win the Arkle.
Won't
win the Arkle. So whoever got paid out, fair play.
Yeah, that was well done.
Like you say, not only like they saved losing money, they won money. Like amazing.
Nice timing as well. Run up to Christmas. So tell you, that was a handy one. Yeah,
it was good. I was looking through Twitter, and some fans were like, "Just get what you won and put it back on him again for the Arkle."
No. If you back the winner, happy days, particularly that far, right? But Fran was talking about his on Friday's pod about his anti-post losers so far, which is not great, unfortunately, but already. Oh, it's tricky. Future Racing, as it's now
but
called.
But the way you look back, and like, I remember having 400 quid at 14s on Honeysuckle for the Mayor's Novice, and she got injured and missed Chilton. And you're like,
sure, she wouldn't have won it that year.
She wouldn't have won.
who won it the year she didn't make it?
Who knows? Was it, I think actually it was Eglantine Desai, wasn't it?
Oh, no chance she would have beaten her. She was unreal that day. Eglantine Desai. Alan King's won 2 of the last 5 renewals, a great one. So I wasn't talking out my behind on that occasion. Let's move on to the 3:30. It's a novice chase. Novice hurdle over the 2 miles, I suppose you could call it. An early look ahead to the Supreme. We'll see. Springwell Bay for John Joe O'Neill Jr. and Senior, the 5-2 favourite. Iberico Lure for Nicky Henderson, 3-1. Knights 2 Fenner Cross, who's been well backed for, again, John McConnell, in from 6s. Father of Jazz for the Skeleton 7s, as is She Is Electric. And then 10-1, a bigger rest. Nice biggish field for this, Frank. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. Fenner Cross did win well here at the last meeting, but this is a far stronger race, I would think. Father Jazz, pretty interesting race, 101, the flat win trained by Roger Varian. Now with Dan Skelton, his 3 wins on the flat did come in the all weather. And being by Kingman, I wouldn't be sure he's made for 2 miles and hurdles. Just looking through Kingman's progeny, from what I can gather, he's had 14 go hurdling and only 2 of 1. And one of those was a handicap hurdle off 74. So I'd be a little bit iffy about him. Abir Collard won a French bumper last May, joined Nicky Henderson, owned by JP. Cash for that would obviously be very significant. Like, we've no idea how good he could be. Plains Indian has to carry a £5 penalty. Probably, or he's not declared, is he actually? He's not. He's going to Navan this weekend.
Don't see him, nope.
I did my notes last night before Dexter CPK. But the one I like is Springwell Bay. I know I mentioned the National Hunt preview pod. He, very close second in the Goff's Land Rover bumper back in 2021. Adam Lee Chosen's the horse to beat him. He's at least a high 130s horse. Like the placed horses were well behind with Merlin Giant in fourth, rate 127 now, the fifth, the Cap of Glory, is likely to be in around the 130s. So it was a decent enough renewal of the race, I thought. Switched to John O'Neill for, I think, about 150 grand, bolted up on his debut for him at Mark Reyes in a bumper. Now, it wasn't a great bumper, but he couldn't have done it any easier. And he looked one of the better English horses in that division last year, but we didn't see him again. Stayed away from Cheltenham, made his hurdles debut at Carlisle a few weeks ago. They went to an absolute crawl, so I wouldn't take the winning distances, you know, literal. He was by far the best, and he was clearing away again up the hill at the finish there. The second was second again at Mark Reyes during the week. But he's loads of potential, and like I think a stronger pace is really going to suit, particularly for his jumping. He was a bit like jumping wasn't bad, but was very deliberate and a bit high, but I think going faster will definitely help him in that respect. And yeah, he's a horse I really like. Now, the danger always with these John Joe novices are maybe they're, you know, working back from the Betfair hurdle. But yeah, he's got loads of ability and I'd side with him.
Still needs to get into a Betfair, which he's going to need to win a race or two before. But Springwell Bay, 5-2 favourite as we record. Fran?
Yeah, look, he's the obvious one, isn't he? That bumper run, as Frank said, and his bumper win last year. And I thought, like Frank said, he warmed up into task really well at Carlisle on that belated hurling debut. Surely more to come in the back of that. And he's taken on some battle-hardened rivals and then the unknown quantity, Iberico Lord, who could be anything, but given his lack of hurling experience, happy enough to look elsewhere. Going to take a bit of a punt on this and go elsewhere. Fenner Cross was very good when winning at the track. He's a strong traveller and again, drying ground will play to his strengths. But if you don't want to back the top, the favourite Springwell Bay, I would side with Fascinating Shadow, who's currently a 10-1 chance from what I can see. I thought he ran really well in the all-weather at Dundalk recently on his comeback run. He's 1-1 over hurdles. He beat a grain down in Cork, who's gone on to be rated only 118 since then. But if you're dealing with good ground, may not be the winter type race that we're expecting. And he just could outrun his odds. He's a strong traveller. He jumped, warmed up into task pretty well in debut at Cork. I think there's a bit more to come. And if you want to take on top the favourite, who is a worthy favourite, Springwell Bay, each way on the Shark Hanlon, Fascinating Shadow.
We got Fran in, Frank. And I was thinking, I wonder if he'll shoehorn some Dundalk form into this preview for Cheltenham and Navan. I wonder if he will. There can't be that many horses who've run there. Well done.
Sand in my veins, Gary. You know?
well done, Fran. You did what you did. You haven't mentioned Sporting Life yet, but I'm sure we've been a time yet.
Willie Bullen's column is back next Friday, actually, from Organa and Sporting Life. So.
Who writes that? Do you write that?
I speak to Willie, and the lads in the office write it up because I ring Willie at 11 o'clock. And I might hear back from by race 4 in Dundalk on a Friday night, so to go through the runners. But we get there in the end, yeah. So so it's always an interesting journey for the winter.
And he knows exactly what's running and where it's running and who's riding it, and he's got all the information for you, yeah.
Yeah, and when he starts quizzing you about how did that race in Toulouse work out, you know you're in trouble. So
Leon Danger, yeah, that one, yeah. There's something to something, ran in it. Very good. We look forward to the Willie Mullins column. Thank you very much, Fran. Looking for the ghost written ish by Fran Berry. Neither of you have anything in the bumper, so I am going to move to Navan. At least I'm pretty sure neither of you in the bumper. So I'm going to move to Navan. I'll take a quick break, and we'll be looking ahead to an excellent card at Navan.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, that's Cheltenham done and dusted. Now we've got an excellent card at Navan. This used to be the weekend with the Morgiana hurdle. That's been pushed back a week. So Navan getting not quite centre stage, but certainly joining a brilliant day of racing on Racing TV and ITV. Now, we are going to skip the first. There is a handicap hurdle over 2¾ miles, two off at 12:15. Now, I did ask both Frank and Fran to have a look at... lads, don't worry. Don't work too hard. You only need to look at the graded races for me at Navan on the Sunday. But it seems that both of you have unearthed something. I don't know if it's the same horse in this race. I don't think it is. Frank, you go first.
No, I've nothing in this race. It's,
okay, so Fran has something in her something.
Fran, yeah,
It's a cracking handicap pearl. Keep an eye on Enjoy Dallin making his comeback. That'll be, I would imagine, a look towards next season's Grand National, where he was well fancied when he fell at the first. Two standouts here on Exposed Nature, if you like. I'll give mention first of all to number 12, Nathaniel's Dream, for Tony Martin, won at Galway, and could be well handicapped, but he'll need to be, because number 11, Moon Over Clune, trained by Matthew Smith, dual winner over in Bumpers, excuse me, had two runs over Hurls prior to going back into Bumpers, had a recent run over Hurls, and now is back into handicaps for handicap debut off a mark of 106 with a cheek piece on here. Brian Cooper booked. He's got 11 stone four. He could be potentially a handicap lot, say for lack of experience, if you like, running in a big field, but he's definitely a horse to keep an eye out. And number 13, Maxim, trained by Gordon Elliott. I must admit, I lost a few quid in this horse at Punchestown last time, but I think time has told that he ran into a well-handicapped, more battle-hardened horse in Gaius, who went on to win really well at Sligo. Since then, David Russell is back in the saddle, and Maxim is probably the one with the experience to beat on this occasion, but Moon Over Clune, keep an eye on Mark and moves. Matthew Smith, a shrewd operator, and it's his local track.
Myself and producer Mark were at Punchestown when when Maxim ran that time. I must say, I threw him into the, I don't think I'll be going near him again. I actually didn't back him that day, but pretty much everyone did. I think you're in the right boat originally, but yeah, I wasn't impressed with his finishing effort there. One of the most interesting beginner's chases, certainly of the season so far, is Jove at 12.45. And the reason I say it's most interesting, it's very interesting for Fran Berry, who's already told us that he has an anti-post bet on Flame Bearer for Cheltenham, and he's out on Sunday afternoon. So you're expecting a 10 to 12 length victory here, Fran?
Certainly hope so. He's an exciting horse, isn't he? First run for Willie Mullins. I was just blown away by what he'd done in Fairy House last year, and in Nace when he won in Nace as well. He got up to beat Hador, or not Hador, that was in Fairy House meet and greet. He'd very, very rough trips through, in particular Fairy House. He must have came to a standstill two, if not three times down the inside in a small runner field, and to get out and pick up his rivals late on and to win the way in which he did, I thought was a very big performance. And I think even his run of Punchestown behind Stateman, quick turnaround from that run in Fairy House, he may well be better than that bare form. For all that's a very good run. And I think switching to Willie Mullins, going novice chase and lightly raced, strong traveller, and he can race a bit fresh. That's one thing about him. He needs to relax. Maybe having respect for his fences will help, but I think he's a really exciting horse going forward, and he'll be odds on for the turners after winning on Sunday.
That's what I was going to ask, which race you backed him for, because I have a feeling it's the Arkle.
Yeah, I was very split between the two. Yeah,
I have a feeling it's the Arkle. Yeah, that there's a few whispers that he might be the one for the Arkle. It's a very good beginner's chase. You've Colonel Mustard, Hollow Games, Carrick Sam, Get My Drift, and Flame Bearer. Like, they're all at least 130 plus hurdlers. And I'd be with Fran here. I'd say Flame Bearer's got loads of ability. And you imagine the way Willie improves horses, he's very likely to be a grade one chaser, isn't he? Be interesting to see how he goes. And if he wins, he'll be a short price. He'll shorten up considerably for the Arkle.
Carrick Sam is a very interesting horse going forward as well.
Yeah. Arkle Moore. Yeah, but could see Arkle Moore nice horse.
Would he be maybe one for a little bit further down the line?
Mm.
Yeah.
So. Very interesting beginner's chase. 12.45. Make sure you're not in mass for that one. You can go to mass if you want, but make sure you watch that race at least at some stage. 120 is the first of the graded action. It's the for auction novice, this time sponsored by Gibneys. And this has a good look to it, as you would expect, looking at the field. You've got six runners, and you've got three car Bragg, who looks interesting for Gordon Elliott. Imagine, also unbeaten for Gordon Elliott. But the eyes are drawn straight away to Hercule de Soy for William Mullins, Mark Walsh in the JP Silks. I'm going straight to Fran. This is one of our ex-French, interesting Mullins, JP McManus horses. What are you thinking?
I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Look, you're taking on a couple of horses that had a very good, productive summer. Plains Indian got a great listed win, of course, at Limerick recently. And the same with Flaming Moon, who's ridden really well on the front end to win at Galway in that listed company. Three Car Bragg, very good when winning at Galway on testing ground on hurling debut. Adrian Heskin is over to ride for his retained connections. He could be a big improver on the back of that run. Kiki Badger, number five, again, unexposed relatively, and could step forward, as could imagine. But visually what Hercule de Soil, Suile, if you like, done in debut was very taken. He was the talk of everywhere really going to Christmas last year, wasn't he? You know, this was meant to be a really good horse. Now, he didn't shape up in any way, shape or form on that occasion, but what to chat about him then on Stephen's Day, the 26th of December, that came to fruition. I felt at Tipperary. And look, he's switching to the more conventional hurdles. He's got to step forward, but given how forward Willie's runners are made in hurdles at the minute, he should be primed to strike. And if he's going to be a good winter-type horse, he should win here.
He's not the type that Frank Hickey's ever going to tip up, I would have thought. I could be wrong.
Look, he was good at Tipperary, but I didn't think it was much of a race. And I was more taken with three-card Brag, to be honest, winning at Galway. Three-card Brag, he's a half to Idle Talk, who was a very good staying chaser back in the day. He was second and in Start of a Hazen's RSA. I think that was like 2005, was it? 2006, something like that. Look, he won his bumper in Wexford in March, turning over Willie's Dancing City, who went off the 5-on favourite. And he made his hurdles debut Galway a couple of weeks ago against Sander Clegan, who had some very strong bumper form. And I was really taken with the way he won. Really, I thought it was a beautiful performance. And just, like, he was beating a horse with proper bumper form, while Hercule de Soil obviously was very impressive also. I just thought he didn't have to beat a whole pile. And for me, with the way the pricing is likely to go, I'd side with Gordon's one here. I really like the way he won. I think he's very useful.
Very interesting. Couple of votes there. Different votes in the first of the graded action. You've got one vote for three-card Brag and one for Hercule de Soil. Now, one of the most interesting Liz Mullen hurdles we're going to witness will be in many years, will be in this set year's renewal, the 155. You've got Flooring Porter, who's the horse to beat as far as three-mile hurdlers are concerned. Obviously, this is over 2.5, but a good starting point. But the fascinating little blot that's been thrown in there is Bob Olinger, fresh off a disappointing novice chase campaign, which is mad when you consider he did win a novice chase at Cheltenham, but yeah, by default. He's the 6-4 favourite, 11-4 Flooring Porter, 7-2 Zanny here, who's been put up in a few places, a potential staying hurdler who go all the way. Ashdale Bob, 8-1, 10-1 Commander Fleet, and home by the Lee, amongst those at big prices. Straight back to you, Frank, because you were in the National One season preview that we did with Ruby. You did mention you think this is a good switch for Bob Olinger. You even suggested they could go 2 miles at some stage. So he's 6-4. I'm mildly surprised he's that short for this race.
Well, the thing is, Florian Porter and Sarah de Burleigh have £9 penalties to concede to him. And Zanny here has to give him £5. And you just think 2.5 miles is more Bob Olinger's trip than Florian Porter's. Look, he obviously was a bit lifeless at Cheltenham. And very poor Punchestown. So on that, thinking then, coming back over hurdles here, I'd be reckoning he's fairly straight because you don't want to have another disappointing run then. You have massive question marks. So I thought he'd be fairly raring to go and getting the weight, 2.5 miles, ground not too bad. Like, to me, what made him so impressive as a novice hurdler was his turn of foot. And that's why I'm saying I don't see him as a stayer because the best stayers were horses that were a bit idle, like Inga's Driver, Big Bucks. And he just doesn't, you know, he's not really that type. He's more of a, like an old Solbit, maybe one, a stayers, but they're more in the minority than the usual type of winner. So I can see Bob Olinger winning on Sunday, but I'd be very reluctant to be entertaining for the stayers personally.
Fair enough. But you do, did you price race?
I think he win on Sunday. I did just reform it quickly and just with the weight he's getting and the fact I think he'll be fairly straight. I think he'd be tough to beat.
Okay.
There's some word that he's working really well as well. So.
All right. Fran?
Yeah, look, Bob Olinger back over hurdles. And as you said, during the week, PK, Envoy Allan getting him back to win last week would be a good sign for the Henry de Bromhead team. And maybe there'll be any more consistent run of form this year. I don't think they were at the top of the game last year, all through the winter months. And look, he's priced in he's priced in accordingly. And if he came back to anything like the potential that he's shown as a novice, and even go back to his better chase form when he beat Capodanno in that grade three at Punchestown, that was a very good run in its own right, knowing what we know now. But have to oppose him at the prices, and I'd stick with Florian Porter. I know he's got the penalty. He was going very well in this race last year when he fell second last. He's a bit quirky and sometimes he needs to get away to start and that, but he's got a very good record fresh. And I just think he'd be very hard to beat here if he gets away cleanly to start. It's quite surprised to see him maybe as big as 11-4. And for me, he's the one that, you know, he's a reigning champ. I know he comes to hand at Cheltenham, but his Navan record is very good. He's had a win there. He's been second there and fallen there as well. And I just think he's a more solid proposition despite that penalty against Bob Olinger.
It's a fascinating race. Really looking forward to it. You can see both angles there from Fran and Frank. Frank making a very good point there regarding the weight being received, and Fran making a very good point about Florian Porter just being good fresh. Really looking forward to that. Next graded action is a 2:30. It's the Fortia Chase. And this sees, we've got a treat on Sunday. Fernie Hollow, no less, and Captain Guinness, who, this may surprise a few people, maybe not, they have the same rating at 160. So technically, this should be very close. It'll be interesting to see what the lads think. You've also got Andy Dufresne in there, Riviere Detel. She was an excellent chaser last year, but she has lost that four-year-old allowance that she had when chasing last year. Epson de Hoo is no mug. Frank, we're operating without prices at the moment. I'm looking at the Irish Racing. We love, myself and Fran love the IrishRacing.com tissue. We've been throwing a few wobblies from this before. They think Fernie Hollow 13-8, Captain Guinness 3-1. Is that... That I thought you'd get that reaction.
Yeah.
Can I have some of that 13-8?
If you put 13-8 Fernie Hollow into the database now, you'd be getting a curly finger. going, what the fuck are you doing?
He'll be
odds on. The same rating. That's because Fernie Hollow's only had two starts over fences, one start over hurdles. He's, you know, full of potential. It's a decent little race. You've got the Carl Cup winner, fast or slow. You've Riviere Detel taking him on again. Now, Riviere Detel was getting £13 when she was second to Fernie Hollow, beaten over a length at Leopardstown last Christmas, and now she's £2 worse off. You'd imagine he's going to be very difficult to beat. He's the one I can see, you know, making up into potentially a champion chase horse to take on Inner Grameen and Shishkin later in the year, and you'd be very disappointed if he gets beat.
Okay, so I'm not getting 13-8. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe 8-13 be more like it. Maybe.
Shucks, Brad.
Can't go against Fernie Hollow, can you? I thought he was very, very good. Obviously, did bypass the last in a race post chase at Leopardstown last year. He's £3 better off with the mayor, River Tell, down the bottom. And he won with plenty of authority on that occasion. Likely race. We haven't seen the best of him to date. I hope Connections get a clear run with him this season and we can see how good he really is. But, you know, you go back to that Cheltenham bumper win. And I seen him down at Willie Munns a couple of weeks ago. I thought he looked fantastic. And he could be a horse that a little bit of time off has done him good in a roundabout way. And with a clean round, he should be hard to beat. Cast Grace Paddy has won the race 2 years ago. That was a great day for him. Andy Dufresne, not a horse that I'm, or not, Andy Dufresne is definitely one worth watching with a view to going back to Cheltenham maybe later in the year. Of course, he's ran a cracker there. Captain Guinness, if he's Fernie Hollow's danger, I think Fernie Hollow wins.
Yeah, Andy Dufresne maybe in the Johnny Henderson or something down the back end of, yeah, I'd say that could be a race for him. Was he well back last year, Frank, in one of the handicap chases? Frank's texting his missus now this day. Andy Dufresne.
Andy Dufresne, I'm watching the Cheltenham race here. Andy Dufresne was well backed in the Grand Annual when he came second. He carried some of my cash.
Okay, right. So he won't be winning on Sunday then. Right. So that's two votes for Fernie Hollow. And we're not getting the 13-2. I think I'm going to stop reading out the IrishRacing.com tissue prices at this stage. It's just getting us too excited. Fran, we've been absolutely stumped on numerous occasions. Now, this is the handicap hurdle I was referencing earlier. My apologies, where you both, I didn't think you'd both have selection in this race, but you have both had a pick. I didn't ask one. The 3:05. This is a kind of humdrum, 15 grand, 2 mile handicap. That Cheltenham race is finished, Frank, yeah?
Yeah.
Who won it?
Gavin Cromwell with another winner, Sweet Will. He is on fire.
Absolutely on fire. We were recording, as I said, on Friday afternoon. That was the first race of Cheltenham on Friday. Right, you did want to talk about one in this handicap hurdle, Frank.
Yeah, I meant, look, the market will tell you what's expected, but I'm pretty certain changing the rules as well, handicapped off a mark of 116. Showed promise in all three starts of maiden hurdles, was fourth in his debut at Fairy House in January. Now, he was well behind Carrick Sam, Glenn Moylan, and Habrisco. But it was a fairly decent debut all the same. He was fifth at Nay, staying on into fifth behind Bring On The Night. Again, never really in it, but, you know, showed a bit. And then in April, he was fifth again, not beating far, I think just over six lengths. When he was badly hampered by a fall or two out in a race, won by What's Available. He's the likes of Percival, Leguale, and Level Never Ending just ahead of him. I think a mark of 116 is definitely workable, but... yeah, you just want to see maybe a little bit of market confidence behind them. And if there was market confidence, I'd be joining it.
That's changing the rules. Jessica Harrington, who could have had a Group 1 winner in Japan by the time racing has started on Sunday. Mark Walsh on board. Fran?
Yeah, look, I totally agree. Frank, changing the rules catches the eye, but hasn't been seen on the track since Dem Tree maiden hurdle runs. First handicap. Listen to racing TV and get a view on how fit he looks in the ring and check the market, I'd say, more importantly. Same will apply to number 20. Same ownership, never a dull moment. Big eye catcher on his last start, but that was back in January. And number 5, Fortune de Fortunata. Currently, he's a fit horse coming here. Interesting angle, ex-English horse, only 2 runs. Made a mockery of his mark of 109, an Irish debut at Galway, £11 higher today on this occasion. I don't think that's enough to stop him. And given his recent fitness and scope to improve, he's probably the one to be waiting Sunday unless the money really comes for changing the rules.
Nice mention for Racing TV there from fans. Anyone else you work for?
My wife.
Did mention her before as well, to be fair. Right, so that is just a couple of shouts there. Watch the market regarding the JP owned runner for changing the rules, and Fran there with the perhaps more informed Fortune de Fortunata for Elliot and Russell. Now there is a bumper on the card. I don't think we're going to get a selection, but you did want to flag one up who is of interest, and there's been a few nibbles for already. Frank Antipost,
yeah, found a 50. There's been a few we've laid for the bumper, and you know, a load of them you wouldn't even have on your radar because, you know, I would be looking at points and what's being sold, etc., until they're entered. But this found a 50 is one that's been going through the monitor a bit a couple of weeks back. One is point, probably there's no price in what he went for, you imagine. Big enough money. Yeah, and just first time with Gordon, the fact he's been backed for the Cheltenham bumper, he must be fairly useful. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But yeah, I just don't understand that people could have a bet in the bumper, the champion bumper, before horses run. I just really can't.
Because they know something and they think that this horse is going to win their bumper on debut and it's going to go to Cheltenham and they're getting a bigger price.
It's not, but it's just basically off the back of stable tours. A lot of the time you just see.
Some guy popped on my Twitter the other day and best looked him, but he said he'd a Triumph Hurdle winner in Dubai by October of the previous 2 years. So, like, yeah. Fair play.
There you go. See, and he's able to put that winning docket on Twitter with a boom, boom. Boom
to
boom.
Be fair, he had 10 horses backed each year in October too. That's the bit you don't see.
Found a 50. We'll keep an eye on it nonetheless.
Yeah, just be interested to see how it goes. Like, as in, now if it goes and wins impressively, then you'd be going, yeah, Jesus, maybe it is a Cheltenham bumper horse. No, I'm not recommending back yet or anything, just more watching it. And of course, you have the Southern National in Fontwell as well, PK.
One of your favourite races.
Oh, here, staying slog in testing ground at Fontwell normally.
You got a pick for us?
I do. I like full back for Gary Moore, actually. Cool, man. He caught the eye at Ascot on his reappearance in the London Gold Cup handicap. Went fourth, kind of got out pace, stayed on really strongly then into fourth. You go back to last year, he won a decent handicap at Cheltenham over 3.25 miles off a mark of 135, I think. I'm thinking off the top of my head. Yeah, 135, check my notes. He's only rated 137 now. This would be a step down from even that Ascot race. Like, the horse in front of him were Our Power, Danny Kerwin and T Clipper. They're all really good handicappers. He has top weight, but he's just a class angle. Even go back to Taunton after he won the Cheltenham handicap. He ran over 3.5 miles in the Portman Cup at Taunton when he wasn't beaten far by Yalenki, despite being completely wrong at the weights that day. So, like, if he's in anywhere, he's only 7 still. He's open to more improvement. And yeah, I think he's the one to beat. He's a bit of class here, hopefully.
Full back in the Southern National family. What time is the race? I don't have it open. You do.
2:50.
Thank you very much. The 2:50 at Fontwell. What's your favourite of the country nationals? Would you prefer the Sussex National or the Southern National?
Frank? I'd say probably the Sussex National because I backed the winner in it last year.
Galloping Bear, wasn't it?
Buoyance, yeah.
A Galloping Bear. What a horse. And keep an eye for him for the National, maybe later. The Welsh National. Right, lads, that was a lovely skip through our Sunday service. Now I want your best bets, be it a Cheltenham or an Avon or indeed a Fontwell. I'll go to you, Fran Berry. What's your best bet on Sunday?
Yeah, I'll give you two. Nap anyway is Sunday in the Lismullen Hurl. I'm just surprised to see Florian Porter at 11-4, and I don't think he'll be that on the day. And he'll do me all day long. And glad to hear Gavin Cromwell just had a winner in Cheltenham. has his stable been going any better this time of the year? I doubt it, Frank. He's had 8 winners in the last 2 weeks and they're in really tough form. And I just think, I think he'll find out that come the day, it'll be 2-1 each of two, unless they're really strong in Bob Bollinger.
You said you'd give me 2, so I'm waiting for a second.
I did, just waiting on that bombshell, you see. And Cheltenham Saturday, I'm going to be on the couch, or I might go for a pint by the end later in the day. And Saturday, but Sunday, the Greatwood Hurl, Harbour Lake each way at 16-1. I just think there's a bit of upside to him. And in a race where maybe the two Irish horses will be overbet, he could be a bit of value.
Nice. Okay. One, a shorter price, one each way from Fran. Frank?
I'm going to go with 3-card Brag in the Fox and Novice Hurdle. I just really take him with the way he won at Galway. And, you know, if everyone's bigging up Willie's one, you might get a price about him. So, yeah, 3-card Brag. This is the time of year for Gordon's horses. So,
dare I suggest what Irish Racing have got in as a tissue? Go on,
tell me there.
They've got 7-2, Hercule de Soy, 9-4, 3-1 Imagine, 7-2, 3-card Brag.
Sorry, say that again.
7-2, 3-card Brag. 9-4, the Mullins horse, Hercule de Soy, 3-1 Imagine. This is a tissue price, by the way. It's a guide price. Would you be happy with 7-2?
Would I be happy?
I'd probably back him each way, Dad. The odds.
But like Willie, Imagine was very, very workmanlike at Wexford, winning over Hurdle. So you'd imagine he's not going to be favourite. Like, did you have him in favourite? He won't be. He'd be third fab, I would have thought. Yeah. Unless I'm missing something completely. Willie's one would be maybe close to evens, or maybe even odds on 3-card Brag be, yeah, maybe 5-2, 11-4.
I think whoever IrishRacing.com tipster tissue is looking for some nice prices on a few favourites. So maybe.
Do you know something? I think, you know, potentially that's it, because a lot, so, you know, maybe one or two of the other firms who go up early as well tend to be very similar to the tissue prices that are out there. So maybe there's an element of that.
Look
too.
At this, like, casting aspersions on every trader in the land.
I'm just saying a lot of them don't price them themselves. Like, you know, they just get a tissue and then trade them. So there could be an element of that, just getting a tissue and
happy days.
They might not necessarily be very accurate.
We might apply for the job, Irish Racing tipster, tissue price, and we'll see how we get on. Put in Fran's nap at 33s. Fran, but this is great, lads. Thanks. I really appreciate you coming in on a Friday and having a chat about Sunday's racing. We should do it more often. Hopefully, by the time this pod's out, Fran has tipped up every winner at Dundalk at this stage. I would imagine you've pretty much gone through the card.
Yeah, touch wood, the ACCA is done and dusted, and I can take the rest of the year off then, yeah.
Well, as we speak, it's not a loser. So that's as we speak, we're not a loser. We'll be back next week. We're back with Fridays with Fran as per usual. Hopefully around Thursday as per usual, looking ahead to the Friday action and whatever else tickles our fancy. And as per usual, looking ahead to the weekend. Next weekend, we've got the Morgiana. Be interesting to see what Willie Mullins throws at that Grade 1 2-mile hurdle. Until then, thanks very much for listening. Talk to you next week.